Hello and welcome to another edition of The Measuring Post. My name is Joe Massa, and I have another great episode for you today with another fellow podcaster. She is the host of the podcast Motherhood Uncut. She's a licensed maternal mental health expert, an author, and as I mentioned, a fellow podcaster and the creator of the Calm Connection System, which we'll get into in just a little bit. She's been featured in the New York Times, USA Today, CNN Health, the list goes on and on. She's a total rock star. Over 20 years of helping thousands of mothers navigate burnout. So excited to have this conversation. Please welcome Kate Kripke to The Measuring Post. How are you today?
I am good. I'm good. As you and I were talking about before we hit record, I am feeling all the feels that us parents feel when our kids leave the nest, right? So I'm in it, Joe.
Yeah. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we both have college-age students, the first ones leaving the nest like this week. So it's a very bittersweet, exciting time in lives of parents, but also it's sort of like that end of an era, start of a new one. So, yeah, I definitely know. And I know today's focus more on the moms, but as a dad, I can say we're definitely in the same feelings.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting, right, Joe, whether you're a mom or a dad, anyone parenting a child, actually, right? We spend all this time parenting, you know, showing up to the best of our abilities, hoping that we're giving our kids what they need, which I'm sure we'll talk about a bit today. What is that that our kids need? We'll probably talk about that. But then they leave and you're sort of like, good luck. I hope it all works out for you, right? And then our hands are sort of up at this point. So, oh, here we are. We did it, Joe.
Yeah, definitely a dynamic that I wasn't expecting. I never thought I would get this old this quick. I feel much older now that he's going to college, but I wholeheartedly agree. It's this, I've spent my whole life holding his hand. It's the all I can remember in my adult life. And yeah, and now to watch him go off, and I mean, I look at down holding his hand, but he's bigger than I am now.
I know.
So,
totally.
You know, someday he'll be holding my hand and helping me
That's
up
so
the stairs
because
I'll be an old grandpa. But it's so such
true.
A blessing to be able to watch this time in his life and to be able to experience from a distance and love and encourage him from a distance and just watch him, you know, blossom into this grown man, which is, you know, his mother is in shambles right now. So well, yeah, this conversation will be good. She'll love this episode, I promise.
Awesome. I love it. That's great.
So, Kate, I'm really interested to learn about your system in just a few minutes, but sort of what led you down this path? What was, you know, before you started helping moms fight burnout, where were you in your professional role? Obviously, you're a mother yourself. So, you know, going through it, I'm sure that you probably experienced some of this burnout that you're trying to help fight. But, you know, give me a quick backstory of who you are and where you came from.
Yeah, great. So I'm going to give you a little short version of where I came from and then personally and then professionally, because I think that will get us to today. So I grew up in New York City, Joe. I was raised by two very ambitious parents who were both lawyers. My mom was sort of a pioneer in the field of law in the, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s. She was breaking all kinds of barriers. Both my parents loved me deeply. I was really provided all the things that we think to ourselves our children need to be healthy and well. And the other thing that I was provided with is a culture and air of anxiety and perfectionism and high achievement, which, you know, in and of itself, none of those things have to be inherently bad unless they're out of balance, right? So I was raised with a lot of, you know, to have a lot of anxiety myself, the need to do everything right, to take care of everybody, to be perfect, to find my sense of well-being and self in the achievements I accomplished. I then went on to become a mom and had very significant postpartum anxiety after my first daughter, the one going to college, when she was a baby. Quite frankly, there wasn't really the kind of support I needed at the time to help me through that, right? The more traditional support out there for moms who are struggling tends to be psychotherapy and medication, both of which I am not opposed to, even remotely. But there was something else happening for me, I think, that had to do with the deeper inner beliefs I had about myself and what needed to happen for me to feel, quote unquote, okay, that was fueling a lot of my angst. When I went into being a professional, I thought I wanted to work with teens. I thought I wanted to be a teen mental health specialist. And in my first job after graduate school, I was hired to start an after school, a counseling program in an after school program for youth in San Francisco in the Mission District of San Francisco. These kids had a lot of behavioral challenges. There was a lot of truancy. There was a lot of substance use. And those kids did not want to be in my office, understandably. But there was a line around the block of their moms, right? And when their moms got the kind of support they needed so that they could feel more healthy and well, so that they could learn how to navigate uncertainty and unpredictability, their kids started to do better. Their kids started to go to school more. Their kids, their behavior shifted. And that really opened up my eyes in this sort of reality of maternal child mental health and how important it is that we help moms learn how to be on the inside, steady and stable and resilient so that they can provide for their kids, so that we can provide for our kids what our kids need most, which is that stability, that predictability, that love, that consistency. When we're burnt out and overwhelmed, it is quite literally impossible to show up the way I just described. So anyway, there you have it in a nutshell.
No, I think it's very true. It's you are sort of a product of your environment as well. And if there is a lot of anger or anxiety or depression in your home life, that definitely can translate into your personal life, whether you're a child or a spouse or a, you know, even like a parent yourself. If you're dealing with it, it can really affect the other areas of your life that need more attention. So when you first started professionally, you were a licensed clinical social worker. So the goal was originally the teens, and then you turned to the moms, obviously, as you just explained. How long did it take you to sort of realize that putting together a program for moms, how long were you a social worker before you kind of transitioned into that? Was it pretty quick after you graduated?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So I think first and foremost, it's worth saying I realized pretty quickly in that process that if we could get the moms who are struggling with teens who are struggling, the support they needed, and to see that kind of shift in overall family health as quickly as it happened, then my brain went to, let's get those moms the support they need in early motherhood. Let's not wait till their kids are teenagers. Let's get them the support they need early, early, early. So I directed my career into what we call perinatal or postpartum mental health very early in that career, in the early 2000s. That's when I started to do a deep dive into learning about that stage of life and infant mental health and child mental health and the postpartum brain and postpartum mental health. I started a clinic here in Colorado called the Postpartum Wellness Center. It's now called the Parent and Family Wellness Center. I ran that clinic for 15 years and provided traditional psychotherapy within the boundaries of, you know, a traditional psychotherapy practice, four walls, one-on-one therapy. And quite frankly, I loved that work, but my clients were not accessing the kind of change, the kind of sustainable change they really needed and wanted. So for example, I would have a new mom come into my office who was struggling with a lot of anxiety and depression. We'd work together for 6 months or a year. She would feel better. She would go back to life. And then I'd see her again in my office 6 months or a year later with the same challenges, right? So it's not that she wasn't kind of, you know, her symptoms weren't decreasing, but she was still moving through life with the same thing, which we'll talk about in a moment, I'm sure, that was leading her to these same challenges again, the irritability, the anger, the anxiety, the challenges in relationships, the feelings of disconnection, the burnout, the overwhelm. And so during the pandemic, I really decided that I wanted to shift from therapy to coaching so that I could really take my clients through a process of deep sustainable transformation so that they wouldn't need to rely on a therapist every time they felt anxious or unsure, right? That they were really able to find that inner stability. So I shifted from traditional psychotherapy to coaching about 3 years ago.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in just a moment, the Calm Connection System. But I think it's important to point out that also the benefits of doing a coaching system like this is that it's scalable. You can reach far more people and more moms out there because there's only so much time in a day. There's only so many people you can bring into your four walls in Colorado. And there's only so much you can do without burning yourself out. So it's really important to use the mediums that we have to spread this word in this system as far as possible. But real quick, before we get into the Calm Connection system, a few things that struck me, and I wanted to ask you a few questions about why you feel this way. You talk about how type A women are often struggling the most in motherhood. Can you explain what type A is versus type B is and what the struggle dynamic is that you see in your day-to-day work?
Yeah, sure. So when we talk about type A women, and when I talk about in my kind of the woman who finds herself in my community tends to be that high achieving, high performing woman. We're talking about those women who have really high expectations of themselves and others, who have lofty goals, who really like to achieve amazing things. These are women who tend to be doers. They tend to be very active. They don't slow down very often. They have long to-do lists. They are frequently helpers or providers. They are used to taking care of other people. Of course, none of these things are inherently bad, right? These are all wonderful character traits. But what really differentiates a quote-unquote type A or high achiever is that she defines her sense of self by her achievements. So it's not that she wants to achieve great things. It's not that she just wants to be purposeful. It's that she needs to achieve great things and be purposeful in order to feel like enough, in order to feel okay, in order for her to feel connected and grounded within herself. That becomes a problem, of course, because when we're seeking outside approval or outside achievements, we're sort of putting the control or the onus on how we feel on things outside of us, which we actually don't have a whole lot of control over. So this is also the mom who kind of lives off those dopamine hits, right? She works really hard for the thing, whatever it is. It could be anything from the clean house to the promotion, right? And she gets that thing and she feels great temporarily, but then very quickly she doesn't feel like enough again. So she has to do it again with something else. So she's constantly fueled by this need to do and be more, which of course, even as I'm talking about it right now, is exhausting.
I can only imagine. It's like a weight on your shoulders that you can't see that's always there and something that you're constantly striving to keep up afloat. And it's a lot of work. And I think you nailed it on the nail on the head. It's one of those things that are out of our control. And it's sort of like the Stoic movement of things aren't good or bad. They just are. You can't control anything other than your reaction. But we are so quick to forget that lesson that was from 2,000 years ago that we can't control what people think, what they do, how they act, what they're going to feel about. Is your house clean enough? Are you working hard enough? Is your appearance the best? Those things are outside of your control, but it's really hard to shake that feeling. And I would imagine that there's probably certain signs that you see. So what are some real life signs of this burnout and anxiety and overwhelm that the quote unquote attempted perfect mom is feeling?
Yeah. I'm going to answer that question. It's a great question. Before I go there, I want to just also answer another question you asked that I didn't get to, which is why do these women suffer so much in motherhood, right? Because I want to just acknowledge that these women we're describing, they're really used to feeling successful. They're really used to feeling quote unquote good, competent, confident. What happens when we become mothers is that the reality of uncertainty and unpredictability hits us like a Mack truck. So we're so used to moving through life from what I'm going to call our achievement brain. And suddenly we bring that same brain to motherhood, our problem solving, our fixing, our organizing, our controlling, our planning. We bring that brain to motherhood and we try to use that same brain at this time with this little human who's utterly unpredictable, right? Uncontrollable. And we feel frustrated because these skills, this part of our brain that's helped us reach so much success in the rest of our life, suddenly is not getting us that same feeling of success in mothering. So what we're left with is the uncomfortable emotion that we've been achieving our way out of for most of our life. Does that make sense? So now we're just left with the feeling of uncertainty and unpredictability, which often shows up as anxiety. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of letting go of that control, which can be really hard, not only for mothers or fathers, but just people in general. Just
that's right.
Being something that's outside of your grasp, but it's so close. You're like, I can pick this little human up, but I can't, you know, make it do what I want it to do or think
you
the way.
You got it.
And it's overwhelming. It's exciting, but it's overwhelming for sure. So
yeah.
I'm assuming based on your experience with, you know, one-on-one interactions and just dealing with people one-on-one and seeing how they go through this experience, that's what led to this Calm Connection system. So tell us a little bit about what that is and the core principles behind it.
Yeah, sure. So these women that we're talking about, what they're experiencing in their day-to-day life is a sense of deep inner exhaustion that does not seem to go away with rest. And I say quote-unquote rest because they're also the women that are unlikely to give themselves permission to rest, right? These women are experiencing a feeling of disorientation. They have a really hard time making decisions because they're so focused on having to make the right decision that they get kind of spun out and ruminate, hard time making decisions. They're feeling tons of guilt. They're feeling often a lot of irritability and anger and rage. And I will say for many of these women, they've prided themselves on holding it together. And so the reality that they can no longer, quote unquote, hold it together and to use the word stoic again, appear as stoic, right? Suddenly they are not recognizing themselves because they're yelling or they're having panic attacks or they're, you know, having a hard time knowing, quote unquote, what to do. So that's often what it looks like in early motherhood. The Calm Connection system was really designed to do a couple of things. First of all, you said something really interesting in our our intro, Joe. You said what we need to remember is that there is a culture that we're raised in. Our environment impacts who we are. And I will say that it's not the environments where there is a lot of anxiety or anger that's problematic for us. Or our children, for that matter. It's the environments where there's anger and anxiety that's not being supported. Okay? So the emotion is never the problem. And most of us were raised in families or in environments where we were led to believe, either directly or indirectly, that anytime we feel anger or fear or disappointment or whatever the emotion is, that means there's a problem. There's something wrong with us or the situation. That might have been true when we were little because our parents felt those things and didn't have the coping skills. So they drank or they raged or they disappeared somehow, right? But what we want to do in early motherhood is teach parents, teach mothers that all of those feelings make sense, right? That there's no problem, that we are wired to feel anxious when we're faced with uncertainty and unpredictability. And becoming a parent is the biggest lesson in uncertainty and unpredictability we'll ever have. So the Calm Connection was really designed to get to the root cause of this overwhelm and burnout that mothers are feeling so that we can unhook them, so that we can get them unstuck from living in this place where they are constantly fearing the feeling and then needing to do more to make sure that they don't feel emotional discomfort or that their kids don't feel emotional discomfort. So I'm going to pause for a moment. I'll tell you more in a second, but does that make sense, Joe? Like, can you resonate with that as a parent?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand what you're saying. And I think it's brilliant because you're addressing the quote unquote elephant in the room, which so oftentimes is swept under the rug and just, well, dad's drinking again. That's just what dad does. Instead of him going, you know what, I'm feeling really uncertain right now. And I'm feeling very stressed and overwhelmed and all the weight of the world is on my shoulders. So yes, I did something that I was trying to get a mental release or some sort of temporary, like what you said, like get away for a little bit, you know, some sort of escape. But the more healthy way to do that, not only for yourself as an individual and a parent, but for your kids to see is that you go, okay, I'm angry, I'm stressed. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how I'm going to handle it. Here's a healthy way to explore this and not take it out on you and the dog and your wife, you know, your mom and all these horrible things that people do when they're lashing out, and they tend to take it out on the people that are closest to them. So I love 100%. That sort of accountability action.
Yeah, that's right. So from a psychological perspective, we know, and this is sort of a model of psychology, but we know that we all carry very deep buried beliefs about ourselves that we were taught when we were young, either directly or indirectly. Ironically, and this is, gosh, I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. This is the truth of humanity that I am both awed by and moved by every day. Those women, those people, men or women, I understand women more than men, so forgive me, but those women, those people who are, that we look at, who have like a million balls in the air, whose house is always cleaned, who look like they have it all together, who are achieving amazing things, they will almost always be living with some deep underlying unconscious belief that sounds like, I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not okay. And sometimes it's more of a question, what if I'm not enough? What if I'm not worthy? What if I'm not okay? Unless, dot, 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 right? Unless I have everyone's admiration, unless everyone around me is happy, unless I am exceptional in everything I do, right? Now, that is tricky, right? Because that deep belief that I'm going to call limiting belief, and I'll tell you why in a moment, has actually probably motivated a lot of really hard work, right? At the same time, it is creating this overcompensation. It's creating this overperformance, this overachievement that leaves us feeling exhausted and burnt out. And to your point, more likely to snap or rage or take out what we're feeling on someone else because we don't have a lot of self-compassion because we're also inside of our brains kind of being more critical and hard on ourselves every time we make a mistake. These things tend to all run together. So what we do in the Calm Connection System is that we unearth those old beliefs that are now limiting us from feeling the way we want to feel in motherhood, which is probably connected, calm, supportive, trustworthy, right? All these things that we want to feel. And again, so our deep beliefs, these are often unconscious, they lead to the kind of thoughts we have on a daily basis. You know, she never listens to me. Oh, I'm such a bad mom. I must have done something wrong. And that's why this person didn't return to my email, right? All these thoughts we have on a regular basis, those thoughts lead to how we feel emotionally, anxious, ragey, angry, irritable, disappointed, guilty. Those emotions lead to actions that become behaviors, and our actions and behaviors lead to what the results of our life is. So if I have a life, if I'm a mom where I am feeling burnt out and overwhelmed all the time, I'm impatient, I am raging, I am feeling guilty all the time, the question is not, what do I need to be doing differently? The question is, what is the belief I hold about myself that's fueling that pipeline, that's leading to my results? Because when we can unearth that belief and begin to challenge it, and see that it's just a belief, it's not a fact, and poke holes on it, in it is the words that I use, we can actually shift that system so that the results are what we want them to be, where we are able to be really successful in our careers and have big goals and achieve them, and also have the life where we're feeling access to joy and calm and groundedness and connection, and our thoughts are more positive and hopeful and opportunistic, because we believe something that's not no longer fear-based about ourselves and more open-hearted and opportunist. That makes sense, Joe?
It makes great sense. And honestly, you said something that was very unique. I'd never thought of it in that perspective. When you're talking about these internal, deep-seated beliefs we have about ourselves that can fuel not only a lot of different behaviors, but the overperforming and the overperformance, you see that a lot. And the only analogy that came to my mind when you said that is, somebody, a man or woman, who has like body dysmorphia, and they might be the perfect physical specimen on all, by most people's accounts, could be the biggest, strongest bodybuilder, the most slender, beautiful supermodel, and it's, they just go, I'm hideous, this is no good. So they're performing, and they're going out and doing high performance workouts 19 times a week, and then people look at them like they're mental, because I'm like, dude, you're like you look like a superstar. You look like a superhero. What do you mean you don't think you look good? And it's that deep-seated belief somewhere that came, whether, again, directly or indirectly, that told them, no matter what you look like, you'll never be where you want to be mentally or in the space you want to be. So I love that you're identifying those core beliefs. And obviously, you can treat the symptoms or you can treat the actual core.
Yeah, and I think that was, you know, quite honestly, what really made the difference for me to move from therapy to coaching is I wanted to meet my clients in their potential rather than in their pain. And there's a time and place to meet people in their pain, of course. But I really wanted to help them move out of that place of deep inner fear of not enoughness, because that inner fear, yeah, it'll lead to, you know, my version of the example you just gave in for women is facial stuff, right? Facelifts and Botox and all that stuff that we can do, right, to make ourselves look different. It's sort of, again, we don't want to shame and blame the hard work or the whatever doing these things. But when we need to keep changing ourselves, keep improving, overperforming, overimproving, we're never going to get to an end point because the lack lies deep inside. And what I want folks that are listening to your podcast, Joe, to really understand is that is a belief. That message, you're not enough, was never yours. You're not okay. It was never yours. It was a parent or a care provider or a culture or a society that was unwell themselves, right? And I just think when we can shift that, we not only end up living our lives with so much more grace, so much more energy, so much more love and connection, but we get to teach our children something different. Because for better or for worse, our children learn how to think about themselves and how to be in the world based on what we teach them. And they are watching us all the time. I have two daughters. This was like I was like, dang, I have got to teach my daughters something different than I learned as a child. And the only way to teach them something different is for me to do the work first. I have to go first.
Yeah, lead by example. I love it. And very true. So speaking of the Calm Connection System, obviously this is meant to spread far and wide. Is this something that there's like one-on-one sessions with you? Is it like a download? Is it a video course? And I guess the next question would be sort of what separates this from other similar parenting therapy kind of courses, and what makes this program unique?
I love this question so much. Thank you for asking. So the other thing that I realized in traditional psychotherapy is that we do not grow and evolve and heal alone. And yeah, you're right. Coaching allows us to serve more people, but it also allows us to serve people in community. And when we get a community of women who all have the same goals, they want to do amazing things. They want to be amazing. They also want to raise healthy kids and have those relationships with their kids. When we get these women together, they move faster. So there is nothing more profound than this type of group coaching. So it is a small group coaching program. It involves a combination of content that's sent to someone's email so that, you know, they can watch the videos that I'm teaching people things and skills and techniques and strategies. They can watch them as often as they want. They're short. Everyone is busy, so they're very digestible. Then there's also live coaching calls. We also use Slack as an app so that people can get real-time coaching and accountability support as they move through the 12-week program. What am I missing? Yeah, so it's a combination. And then there's three one-on-ones throughout the program, but those are really designed to keep someone on track and keep them accountable and engaged. So we all have all the information. There's probably nothing we're saying today, Joe, that your listeners haven't already heard before. But really what differentiates this is the implementation and accountability support. So it's really like having someone hold your hand, because we are interested in changing the brain. We're interested in true brain change over 12 weeks so that by the end of 12 weeks, someone has different ways of thinking, different habits, different ways of perceiving the world around them and themselves, so that once the 12 weeks are over, they have a sustainable shift in the way their brain works and the, you know, who they are and how they perceive themselves, so they don't need to keep coming back. Does that make sense?
No, it's beautiful. I love it. And actually it's like a reset. It's the reset boot camp for the way you think and internalize. And it's the words that you said that make the most sense, though, is the accountability portion of it.
Yeah.
It's really easy to start a fitness program and go, I'm going to do this every day. But then it's really easy to not go do it. But if somebody's knocking on your door, your best buddy or your spouse, and goes, hey, we're going, oh, I can't get out of it. Accountability is a big thing, guys. Make sure that you're keeping yourself accountable, but also helping your fellow people trying to get better. That's what this show is all about. This show is all about a place to learn and grow together. That's the subtext under the title of The Measuring Post. And we can't do that without somebody putting in the initial work to build out a program like yours. So I commend you on that. And really, it's something that's very valuable that I think would benefit not only mothers, but fathers and just adults in general. So I guess that's the next question. Since I am the dad here, I have to ask that. Do you ever see any men that try to come through your program, or is it specifically directed to moms?
I don't see men. I believe, as a mom and a woman myself, that there is a unique challenge that mothers have. I am all about dads and men. Do not get me wrong, but we have much pressure. Yeah, so much pressure in the world to be a quote unquote good mom. However, when someone joins my program, they often will share the content with their partners, with their husbands, often, so that there can be a sharing of the learning. That's one of the reasons we send it to people on the back end, so that they can share the content. You know, it's really interesting. I think one of the things that is also, you just made me think of this, so important about this program that differentiates it is that we are really looking at family health. We're looking at the interplay between maternal and child mental health and family health. So even though the mom is the one that's investing in the program, time, energy, financial resources, all of those things, we know that when we help that mom access a new kind of inner stability where she can be calm and steady even when life around her is chaotic and uncertain and unpredictable, everyone benefits, right? We are then able to create those, what we call in, you know, the clinical world, secure attachment with our children, with our spouses, right? So that we can really be steady and connected even when life gets so crazy. So no, I don't work with dads, but I will tell you they always benefit from this program.
I can imagine. Yeah. And the only reason I brought that up is because there's definitely, I've had conversations with male-oriented groups, whether it's just about, you know, how to raise a man or be a good dad. And I've talked in those groups, and it's always amazing, you know, sometimes when I hear the woman's side of the story or perspective, it opens my eyes in ways that I didn't quite think of. And and I hope that I have that sort of influence on the ladies who listen to my show, that sometimes if you get the perspective of a male who is coming from a healthy, hopefully normal, you know, dynamic, that it does open some eyes and raise some sort of awareness that maybe wasn't there. But I think it's important to use a political term, sometimes reach across the aisle and see what are my lady counterparts doing that are making them healthy that we could benefit from as well. And I think that even though you're personally working more with the mom population, some of the words you say are very important. It's self-realization. It's accountability. It's calm. You know how easy it is for a lot of parents to get really worked up, and men typically have that built in them as well. It's always the raging dad and the anger and this sort of volatility. Calm is a unique word that is very often lost in translation for parents in general. So that was just sort of the reason I asked. But I love that you're working with the moms. Moms deserve a lot of credit. And I love my mother. I love my grandmother. My wife's a great mother. And I would be a far different person if I didn't have a mom that didn't, you know, throw me over the fence and leave me sometimes. I'm sure I deserved it.
We all have blind spots. That's what I love you talking about, Joe. And I think when we're willing to own that and acknowledge that and get curious about the things that we're telling ourselves we know, but we probably don't really know, that is really the doorway, isn't it, for growth and transformation. That's it.
Yeah, and it's stepping outside of your comfort zone and being willing to take sort of constructive criticism and not as an attack, but as somebody saying, hey, have you tried X, Y, or Z? Have you thought about it from this angle? And a lot of times you haven't, and that'll make you angry or feel like, I think, you know, even going back to the original thing, you feel like you're not enough now. Like everything I was doing was wrong. And that's not it. Sometimes it's really hard to internally reflect and look in the mirror and go, I need to change this about myself. But if somebody else is doing the exact same thing right next to me, I can point it out to them real quick. Oh, you're doing this, this, and this. And they'll go, dude, you're doing the same thing. Well, I can't see that on myself. So sometimes you do need that accountability partner or coach or just that gentle kick in the butt, for lack of a better term, to get you just to see and open your eyes that just not doing something right doesn't mean that you're bad or inherently doing it wrong. It's just there's always ways to improve and grow. I think that's a good way to take that.
Beautifully said. Couldn't agree more.
So as a high-performing mom and business person and licensed clinical social worker, perinatal wizard of all these trades and a podcaster and a course creator and a coach. How do you find the balance in your life between being a mom and dealing with all of these never-ending chores and tasks?
Yeah, it's such a good question. The more tangible question is, I take really freaking good care of myself. So I prioritize things like sleep and getting outside, and I have a small meditation practice, mindfulness practice I do every morning. I eat well, I see my friends. I call this your non-pharmaceutical prescription for mental health, which I teach people how to do. That is my those are non-negotiables for me in service of all these other things. The less tangible is that I have trained myself to really learn how to not be afraid, to not be afraid of emotional discomfort. I had two teenage daughters. There is so much emotion happening all the time. It's almost like when our kids are little people, there's big emotion, and then they become teenagers and there's big emotion. And now that I know I am able to no longer fear those moments of discomfort, I find these micro moments of connection with my girls so that it doesn't have to be high performing and achieving and disconnected and then connected because I'm like spending hours upon hours with them. It's these little moments that build up over time that remind me that I am a good mom, so to speak, and that my kids are healthy and capable and competent. And so that was sort of a weird answer, but that's what came to mind when you asked the question.
No, I love that answer. Actually, you said two things I really love. One is prioritizing your health, and that is good sleep, good nutrition, exercise, social, healthy social relationships. Those are what keep your lights on, and that's what keeps the fire burning within you. And obviously, you know, the old saying, make time now for your health or make time for sickness later. Yes. So, you know, pick your battle, but it's so important to treat your body like the temple it is, because otherwise you lose a lot of your ability to do the service that you talk about. But the one thing that really struck me that you said, I really love, and I'm going to steal it. Steal it. Is the micro moments, right? Yes. We're so pre-programmed to see the big picture. In 10 years, I'm going to own a yacht. I'm going to live in a mansion. My career will be here. I'll be a CEO of a company. That's long-term vision, and we need that. That's important to see the big picture. But those micro moments, the in-the-now moments, those are the ones that people neglect, and they overlook. Like, it doesn't matter what I do today. Today's not a big deal in the big scheme of things. That's very untrue, because tomorrow is great if you get there. You never know. And again, I'm not a pessimist or thinking that doom and gloom, but life happens, accidents happen, you know, you'll get called home to heaven and see God whenever you're called home. And that's what I believe, but whatever you believe is your own personal internal beliefs is fine. But for me, I like to live those micro moments. I like to be able to be present with my kids or my wife or my friends, or pick up the phone call and call somebody I haven't talked to in a while, because those are very truly what you said. It's those little glimmers that make you realize, you know what, I am a good dad, I am a good friend, it's okay. I'm not perfect, I'll never be perfect, but every day I get up and try to be better and be in the moment, enjoy those micro moments. So I'm stealing that one, I love it.
Well, and from a quote-unquote secure attachment place, right, what do our kids really need? They don't need the big things. They don't need the big fancy vacation that we're gonna take them on. I mean, great, take them on a vacation, no problem. But what they need is us to be available for the micro moments. And if we're too caught up in planning that big vacation or working so hard that we have enough money to take that big vacation, we miss the little moments for connection. And they are where we feel most alive. So yes, agreed.
I love it. So what's one thing that moms can do today without going on a course, without doing anything? What's one piece of actionable advice you would give somebody today to say, try this and, you know, take two of these and call me in the morning?
Yep. Question for them to consider in this moment is, how do you want to feel when you go to bed tonight? When you turn out the light tonight, how do you want to feel? If someone turned to you and said, how are you feeling right now? What emotion do you want to have access to? And what is one small thing you can do between now and when you put your head on the pillow that will get you closer to that feeling? One small thing. There's a second question that comes with this, which is a larger, more evolved question, but what would you need to believe about yourself to make that one small action available to you? right?
I'm sure that's a little bit harder of a question to answer, but I think it's an important question to ask.
Because yeah, sometimes...
Yeah, and you go to the old saying, you know, the trip of 1,000 miles begins with a step. What's that one little thing you can do to sort of spitball this into something much bigger? But now I'm going to put you in the hot seat real quick. If I were to ask you that question, what's one thing that you hope to feel at night when you go to bed?
I think I want to feel connected. I mean, that really is in general, but also as we shared with your audience as we started, I have two daughters leaving the nest in the next, you know, few days. And it's really easy for me to get up into my head and get preoccupied with the logistics and what do I need to do and how do I, you know, all the busyness. And I want the next number of days when my daughters are here to feel very connecting to me, to feel, even if I've gotten nothing done on my to-do list, I want that experience of connection. What do I need to do to get there? I need to pause when I leave the office after this interview and, you know, they're both home right now and go over there for lunch. I need to pause and sit down and look in the in their eye for a moment and just put my hand on their shoulder or give them a hug or ask them how they're doing, right? It's so easy for me to go and grab my lunch and leave. Those are the micro moments. And there are lots of things I can do between now and the end of the day that will lead me to feeling truly connected when I close my eyes. And I am telling you right now, Joe, I'm going to say it so you all can hold me accountable. I'm committed to doing those things today.
And she said it, accountable. I like that.
There you go.
I was actually going to say, if I were asked that, I was going to say present. You said connected. So another thing I think I would say in that same question would be fulfilled.
Yes.
And the only way you could be fulfilled would be by doing the things that need to be done on an emotional level for me. Not,
that's right.
Not did I cut the grass? Not did I do the dishes? Obviously, those are things that are mechanical you have to do, or you should do. But did I tell my kids I love them today? Did I help someone today? Did I provide value somewhere today in my community? Those things would make me have fulfillment because, again, at the end of the day, if someday down the line, hopefully when we're all very old and you're on your deathbed, do you look back with regret and remorse or do you look back with fulfillment? And I think every day you have a chance to put a little more fulfillment in your fulfillment cup. And if you do that, that's what would strive to keep me moving forward every day.
Yeah. And Joe, I just want to reflect because this is so important, right? What you're talking about, what you and I are talking about is having the feeling be the guide, not the doing. So the question wasn't, when you go to bed tonight, what do you want to have, what do you want to have had accomplished today? Very different question. That's achievement oriented. How do you want to feel today? It's such a different signpost. It's such a different motivator, right? Because we could have done everything on our to-do list and still feel deeply disconnected or distracted or unfulfilled. And we're so used to saying, what do I want my life to look like? What do I want to do in my life? Yeah, that's the question. How do I want to feel? How do I want to feel? Because we have so much agency as adults to get us towards those feelings.
It's a much better guide to go by, how you're feeling about your life instead of what you've accomplished. But I have to point out, you just called something the signpost. You missed a real opportunity to say the measuring post.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Let's rewind. Time. Let's do that again. The measuring post. The measuring post.
I know. I just had to sneak that in there.
That was good. Kate, it was good.
It was. Hey, the point you made is good. And I love the conversation. I love what you're doing. So where can people find you? Where can they find the Calm Connection System? Your website is katekripke.com. I will put links around this video to that. But where can people find you on socials or what's the best way to connect and find out a little bit more about what you're doing?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I am going to give you a link to a free gift for your listeners. This is actually a 21-day mini Coach in Your Pocket program that usually has a price tag on it, but I would love to give it to your listeners for no fee. And this is, we talked about the non-pharmaceutical prescription, the self-care. This is going to be a 21-day guide that you can put on your phone that will help you build resilience to your brain so that you're actually learning how to take care of yourself while you're actually taking care of all these things around you. So I would love to provide that for your listeners. People can find me there. Instagram at Kate Kripke. I share a lot of information there, and I love answering questions over there on the back end. So if anyone's listening and they have questions about anything that they heard me say, please feel free to come find me on Instagram and we'll have a little dialogue over there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been great having you on. I love what you're doing. I think the work is extremely important. And I think that, yeah, you're working with moms not only as a direct benefit to them, but I think you're absolutely right. As a sub benefit, the people around them also benefit from this, because happy moms make, you know, the world go round. And obviously, you can't be in service if you're constantly in turmoil within yourself. So keep up the great work. I'm really excited to connect with you more and more and collaborate in the future. And if you had any final sort of words to wish upon the listening audience, what would it be?
I wish for them that they really understand that there's nothing wrong with them. There is nothing wrong with you. You are enough. You are enough and you are worthy. Full stop.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, once again, this is Kate Kripke, and I appreciate your time today on The Measuring Post.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be here, Joe. Thanks for the conversation.
Absolutely.